Father, thank you that you are our stronghold, our rock and our tower. Please would we grasp more this morning as you speak to us, more of the wonder that that is, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, do please be seated. Well, it's the start of a new year and I have good news for us this morning. Here at St. Bennet's we are trialling a new technological innovation. In a few moments, through our newly installed PA system, we are going to hear everything that you said in the past month. Whether you said it at work, at home, or on the phone, whether you said it to those close to you over Christmas or to strangers, maybe on New Year's Eve, it's all going to be here for us to listen to and enjoy. And this is a privilege, because normally, isn't it, it's only those in prominent positions who sometimes find their unguarded comments revealed publicly. I wonder if you remember Gordon Brown, do you remember, as he drove away from that election stop in Rochdale? They didn't realise the lapel microphone was still on and broadcasting, and he described a lady he had just encountered as a bigoted woman. Or more recently, do you remember Donald Trump, caught speaking on that bus about the way he could treat women because of his power, which doesn't bear repeating this morning. And both of those were strongly criticised, rightly. But how would we fare if our words faced the same scrutiny? Well, this morning we're going to find out. Now, I know what you're thinking. I bet it doesn't work properly. You're concerned it won't have picked up everything. Well, don't worry. Even that moment where the transport delays meant you were running late for the meeting, even that evening at home when you were really tired, and even when at work the pressure was really on, it hasn't been missed. It's all here. Everyone happy? Where should we start? Will, maybe. Well, we've reached the 13th day of 2019. I wonder, is there a single day so far for which you'd be happy for us to all hear everything you said on that day? Or even a single hour? Don't cheat, a waking hour in the company of others. Would there be nothing you said that you wish now you could take back? Well, this morning we continue in our series in Matthew's Gospel. And today Jesus is speaking of what comes out of our mouths. So turn with me to page 985. We're picking it up where we left it in Matthew chapter 12, page 985. And we're in the bottom right-hand corner, verse 33. Jesus says, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, by your words you will be condemned." Well, those of us here last Sunday at St. Bennet's, we looked at Psalm 1 together to start the year. And the challenge there was that we all listened to someone. We were to ask ourselves the questions, who do we listen to? Was it that in the end we fall in and go with the flow of those around us? Or do we delight in what God says? And the picture the psalmist gave us was a tree. Those who delight in God's word are like a tree that yields its fruit in season. Its leaf does not wither. Well, in this morning's passage, we've just heard Jesus. He's in the middle of speaking to some of the religious leaders, the Pharisees of his day. And he too uses this illustration of the tree. He begins with that fundamental arboreal principle there back in verse 33. "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit." So it's a straightforward enough principle to understand. Good trees give good fruit, bad trees, bad fruit. So where's Jesus going with it? Let's read on verse 34. "You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. Now notice how Jesus starts. He doesn't pull his punches at all. You brood of vipers. And in the Bible, that clearly brings to mind the serpent, Satan, back in the Garden of Eden. So Jesus has no doubt, if you like, which side these people he is talking to are on. He asks, how can you speak good when you are evil? Now people object when Jesus uses just strong words, vipers and evil. How can he be so sure what they are like? Well, Jesus says, because of what they say. So last week, Psalm 1, it's the words you listen to. And with that will be this issue, the words that then you speak. Over Christmas, I read the bestseller, This Is Going to Hurt, The Secret Diaries of a Junior Doctor. It's a brilliant read, very eye-opening. And the author, Adam Kay, describes how his friends constantly would ask him for his medical advice and wisdom about certain things. But that could lead to difficulties. He describes how one of his closest friends once described to the author the symptoms his father was experiencing. And as his friend told the author these various things, the author knew straight away what was going on inside his friend's father. He said, quote, the survival rate would be 0%. He didn't tell his friend that straight away. But of course, he was proved right because the symptoms showed what was happening. And if you like, in today's passage, Jesus is a medic, in particular a cardiologist, and he's looking at the state of the heart. And again, he works on symptoms, on evidence that reveal what's happening on the inside. It's not the photo that won't tell us very much of the heart. Even the x-ray won't help with this. But Jesus says, once they start speaking, well, all is revealed. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, you and I think, try to be careful, don't we, about what we say. We try not to let our guard down, particularly in public, when we're trying to be respectable. But in the end, it is all too much, isn't it? Somewhere, somehow, we just can't keep it up. Our words do show what we are like on the inside. Our heart is revealed. So where does that leave us? I mean, I assume we know that leaves us in a pretty bad state. And Jesus says that's a heart problem. We couldn't bear it, I take it, if that recording of everything we said really was played here. And in case there was anyone listening to Jesus at this point saying, I think my heart is still okay, the way Jesus is working in Matthew's gospel, he's trying to get us thinking, trying to help us to draw our own conclusions. But if we're in no doubt, let's just look to one other verse. So Jesus keeps speaking, and then in chapter 15 and verse 19, Jesus then spells it out, plain as you like. He says, chapter 15, verse 19, out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. These are what defile a person. And in time, our words will give away what our hearts are harboring. That's why Jesus calls those Pharisees vipers. He dares to say they are evil. And we are to realize that we are just the same. Now, sometimes when a patient's with a doctor and receives that bad news, they ask, don't they, well, is it really that bad? They're in shock. They can't really accept what the doctor is saying about them. They wonder then, okay, all's not perfect, but they've lived with this so far. Surely they'll be okay. They could just keep going. They could muddle through. They might say, well, does this really make a difference in the end? Just recently, I went to an event at the Guildhall. There was a choir singing Rupert Brooke's famous World War I poem, The Soldier. And the poem is a soldier contemplating death in battle. And he says that should this happen, then, quote, think this heart, all evil, shed away. It seems the voice of the poet is recognizing there may well be some evil in our hearts, which is more than some would admit. But then with that, there's the idea of an optimistic, even idealistic view is presented that when we die, that evil will just disappear. It'll go it'll be no more. And you read the poem, and the author thinks what left will be laughter and gentleness and hearts at peace. And of course, that sounds comforting, that all will be well. And many today are still pinning their hopes that that's what the future holds. But what's the reality? Well, let's keep listening to Jesus and see what he says in verse 36. Chapter 13, verse 36. Jesus says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Did you watch those royal weddings in Windsor last year? Early on in the services, the couples were addressed like this by the officiating minister. I require and charge you both, as you will answer on the dreadful day of judgment, when the secret of all hearts shall be disclosed, that if either of you know any impediment. And on it went. I've no idea whether the royal couples or the guests in the church that day actually believed what the minister was saying, that there will be a dreadful day of judgment. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if afterwards some there were mocking this idea as a society does, dismissing it, ignoring it. But that is to disregard the plain teaching of all of Scripture. Again, Psalm 1 last week told us there will be this day, and on that day the wicked will not be able to stand. They will perish, whereas those who know the Lord will stand secure. And that's not just an Old Testament teaching, so to speak. Jesus here underlines it. The day of judgment is coming, and it will be a day of reckoning. Jesus here says that all who've ever lived will stand before him, the King, and give an account for every word. It's worth saying that on that day, therefore, there will be no more evasion. I didn't really mean it. I was only joking. Just banter. No, on that day, excuses will be shown up for what they are, excuses. And with that, our veneer of respectability will be stripped away. You know how it is. Some people, some of us, because of our education, our background, have learned how to speak in sophisticated, even seemingly humble ways. When all along, of course, the aim is to big ourselves up and put others down. Well, it doesn't matter. However it's done, on that day, words and their effects will be plain to see. The lies, the abuse, the deceit, and what it's caused, the hurt, the pain, the broken relationships. And so Jesus says people will have to give account. Notice in particular, he says in verse 36, for every careless word they speak. What does he mean by that? Well, it has a general application, but in particular, this is where we need to remember that Jesus is in the middle of talking to these Pharisees. Remember, these Pharisees lived with Jesus. They saw his amazing, life-giving works. And you remember, we saw this a while ago, what was their response? They saw fit to declare that Jesus was doing these works by the prince of demons. Those Pharisees were saying Jesus was demonic. And they thought they could do that and get away with it. There'd be no repercussions. There'd be no results. Well, Jesus is saying it's careless words like that, particularly about Jesus. Careless words, because people in this life think what they say about Jesus doesn't matter very much. Well, it matters a great deal. Just on the radio yesterday, I was listening to the DJ and his mates, and they ended up discussing Jesus in the most light-hearted way, to say the least. It was all just a joke. It didn't matter at all. Others would be even more hostile, we know that, and to what he stood for. There'd be some, I guess, around us today who would say, oh, well, actually, I've got nothing against Jesus. Well, their words on the Day of Judgment will reveal what place Jesus really had in their hearts. And we must, of course, see what it might mean about us. What do we say about Jesus? Not thinking so much of this hour or so when we're in church, but how about the rest of the time? I wonder if his name slips out very lightly with us, maybe as a swear word or just joking and treating him lightly. Or how about when the conversation comes round to those issues on which Jesus has spoken clearly and definitively, like relationships or like his uniqueness. What do we say? Or it may be there, what do we not say? And our silence speaks volumes. It is striking, the words we've said together, even this morning, that we've sung, give the impression that we think very highly of Jesus. Well, would our words the rest of the week back that up? Well, Jesus says, one day there will be this day, an account given of our words. And the outcomes are described there in verse 37. Either justification, that is, we will be shown to be right with God and with a place in his kingdom forever, or it will lead to condemnation forever. Now, if we are listening to Jesus, of course, these are very sobering words. It'll become clear our hearts are far from healthy. There is evil within, and we know that deserves condemnation. So what is it that Jesus wants at this point? How does he want his hearers like us to respond? Well, just go back to verse 33 and notice again how he phrases it. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. So yes, good trees with good fruit, bad trees with bad fruit. Jesus says, make the tree good or make the tree bad. Now, we've just read these verses. Some might hear this and think we've got to make the effort to be good trees, to make the fruit good. But let's put it this way. The thing is, there are no in-between trees. They are either good or bad, because our efforts could only produce at best an in-between tree, but and even then, as we know, it'd only be superficial a bit of the time, because we know our hearts remain as they are, and we know Jesus knows that. We've heard his description in chapter 15. So you might say, well, what then can make a tree good? And the wonderful thing is, if we've realized that we can't do it, and we've been reading Matthew 12, well, we've just heard the answer. Jesus has told us. Look back to verse 31, where Jesus says, therefore I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people. So really, what we've just looked at this morning is to show us that we need that promise from Jesus. Maybe this morning it's been brought to our minds the lies we have said, the unkind words, the deceit we've been a part of. Jesus says that can be forgiven. Maybe we can even think of the blasphemous words we've spoken. That is, when we've spoken against Jesus and what he stands for. Maybe when we haven't spoken up, when we should have done. Well, look at verse 32. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. What a most wonderful offer from Jesus. He's saying even what we might have said against him, he will forgive. Of course, what ultimately cannot be forgiven is what these Pharisees were doing, rejecting Jesus as shown by their words. And there is a warning here. If people continue to speak unrepentantly against the Spirit who highlights Jesus for us, well, there can't be forgiveness, because forgiveness comes only from Jesus. But if we do come to Jesus, the point is, because of his death and resurrection, Jesus can make the trees good. That means we can then look forward to that day when we will stand before him. Ultimately, we won't have careless words we need to account for, because we have spoken words that show we trust Jesus and are relying on his forgiveness. And we'll have confidence not because somehow we'll pull the wool over Jesus' eyes on that day, which some seem to think they'll be able to do. Jesus will know every word, but he also will have died for every false word of ours. All can be forgiven. Let's pray as we close. Father, we do praise you for the way that Jesus speaks. It humbles us as he exposes how what we say reveals a state of our hearts. We realize again that of ourselves we deserve nothing but this condemnation, and yet we thank you that Jesus can do what we could never do. He can make the tree good. Thank you that we can be forgiven for all we've ever said, for all that our evil hearts have generated. And so thank you that we can look forward to the day when we will stand before Jesus, justified. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.